Morning, Rabbosai. Nice to be here. As always, a big yashikah to the organizers of this Torah Way. An amazing, amazing Kiddush Hashem to see every day, hear about it. The learning takes place regularly. And of course, through the recorded shiurim, even more so. I'd like to have a look today at two aspects of Parshas Vayishlach that Chazal understood to be, in inverted commas, problematic. In other words, an iyun, a deeper understanding. Yaakov's confrontation with Esav is a massive sugya. Exactly why he does what he does is a subject for Chazal. And especially, there are two aspects of Yaakov's behavior here, which are, for the Gedolei Meforshim and for Chazal, considered to be of major interest. The first one is, maybe it's worthwhile, since you've got the text in front of you, to read, just have a look at the Ramban at the top of the page, text number one. The Ramban unusually starts off by saying, why did we need this whole story? The whole story could have been summed up in one sentence. Yaakov met Esav, and they agreed to part and each go their own way, and that's it. Why did we need this entire chapter, blow by blow, of exactly the conversation and all the preparations and every aspect of this first half of Parshas Vayishlach? Says the Rambam, Nichtavo Parsha Zois Lahidia, I'm reading text number one on your sheet. This whole parsha was written, Ki Hitzila Kadosh Baruch Hu is Avdo V'Golom Yad Chozach Mimenu. In other words, the Chazdei Hashem that Yaakov benefited from, that he was saved from the massive force of Esav. More about that in a minute. Vayishlach Malach Vayatzileu. Ulelamdeinu Oid. And then the Ramban goes out of his way, as he does in a few places, to teach us, in a sense, the flip side of this. In other words, one side of it is the Chazdei Hashem and the Hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is total. But Ulelamdeinu Oid, Shehulo Botach B'tzidkosei. The principle of Ein Seimchen Al Hanes that the Ramban speaks about also in Parshas Shlach Lecha with regards to the Meraglim. The Ramban feels that sending the Meraglim, he says in Parshas Shlach Lecha, he's Chelek and Rashi there in Parshas Shlach Lecha, sending the Meraglim was absolutely a good idea. Rashi holds that sending the Meraglim was a mistake from the very beginning. The Ramban says, Nishtazai. The Ramban says, Ein Seimchen Al Hanes. When you're facing an enemy, you've got to do all the Hishtadlus you possibly can. After you've done the Hishtadlus, after you've trained the army, and you've armed them, and you've sent out spies, and then you engage a battle, and then you have Bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you have to do, he says here, B'chol Hishtadl Batzola B'chol Yecholta. This is the Ramban's opening line in Vayishlach. But then he brings in a kasha in the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, which clearly bothers him, the Ramban, quite a lot. And on this I want to focus for 5 minutes or so. Says the Ramban in text number two on the sheets in front of you, those people who came a bit late, there are some sheets around if you like. The Ramban says, Kfar tofsuhu hachachomim alzeh. Chazal criticized Yaakov Avinu. And you have to understand, of course, every criticism is lefi madregosoi, and the madrega that Yaakov was on, Chazal felt that there was something here which maybe needed to be explained and wasn't obviously the right way to do it. Omru Bereishis Rabbah, says the Rambam, Machzik ba'ozne kelev oivim, as a pasuk in Mishlei, that Machzik ba'ozne kelev oivim is aber al riv loy loy. What does that mean? It means, why do you grab hold of the ears of a passing dog? You're creating a machlekes, which you didn't need to create. This is the Mishlei source, I think, of the English statement of letting sleeping dogs lie. I'm not quite sure of the origin. I think it comes from Dickens or Chaucer or someone, letting sleeping dogs lie. But letting sleeping dogs lie is a pasuk in Mishlei. He says that this dog is tzufriden, he's walking in the street, he's quite happy, leave him alone. Why'd you grab hold of his ear and disturb him? Similarly, says the Ramban, I'm reading now in the Ramban, Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ramban is citing Medrash Rabbah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, Avinu ledarko hoya mahalech. Esav was busy with his own business, right? Esav was running a whole malchus, he had all his alufim, he had all his business, he was fighting his own battles. And you're sending messages to him, leave him alone. So what is the kasha here of the Ramban citing Chazal? Yaakov hasn't seen, 20 years Yaakov was in the house of Lavan, and before that 14 years in Beis Shem Va'eva, according to Chazal. So he hasn't seen Esau for 34 years. So it's true that 34 years ago, Esav hated him. But maybe in the meantime, maybe he's calmed down, maybe he's busy with other things, maybe he's not interested anymore, he's busy building up his own empire. Why do you leave him alone? Why do you confront him, Bechal? Maybe you never need to see him again for the rest of your life. That's the kasha of the Rambam, which I think is a very, very interesting question, and it takes us a bit deeper into the motivation of Yaakov Avinu. We have to foren for Yaakov Avinu. We have to explain why Yaakov Avinu decided for Yishlach Yaakov Malachim El Esav, right? Why does he send these Malachim? According to Chazal, there's a question mark hanging over this strategy of his. Why was this the right thing to do? He should have left him alone. It was sleeping dogs, let them lie. That's the kasha Chazal ask in Medrash Rabbah. So the first, I'd like to give you more than one teretz on this. The first teretz, I think, emerges from the discussion among the Gedolei HaMeforshim. For example, the Kliyoka. The Kliyoka here, I'd just like to take you down in your sheet to text number 5. Text number 5. Yeah, this is a Jewish Shia. It doesn't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It starts from the beginning, goes to the end, ends up in the middle, and this is a special Mahalach, just to keep you on your toes. So, text number 5. The Kliyoka writes, V'yishlach Yaakov Malachim, Lefonov, Pirish Rashi, Malachim Mamash, famous first words of Rashi. These Malachim are not messengers, they are real Malachim. Yesh Omer, so how does Rashi know? How did Rashi, of course, quoting Chazal? Where did they get this from? These are Malachim Mamash. Says the Kliyaka, Yesh Omerim Shediek Min Smichus Shlichu Zer Leposuk Vayivke Uvo Malach Aleokim. What was the closing posuk of last week's Pasha? Vayakav halach ledarkoi, vayivke voy malach elokim, vayem yakav kasher ro, machan elokim ze, vayivke shem machan mahu, machan ayim. So he says that Yaakov Avinu had just met malachim mamash. Those malachim mamash, those were the malachim that Yaakov uses to send them to Esau. That's what the Kliyoka wants us to understand. So he says, have a look at Kliyoka number 5. He says, Yesh Omrim Shedigma Smicha Shlichus, etc., etc. But Yesh Omrim, so he's got a very nice little Rosh Tevas here of the Kliyoka. He sometimes invents new Rosh Tevas that no one has ever said before. He likes being Machadish, and this is an acrostic, Yesh Omrim, Rosh Tevas Machanaim. Machanaim is the closing word of last week's Pasha. What does Machanaim mean? Mem Ches Nun Yud Mem. It's Rosh Tevas, these words, May Oisoi Chai Notal Yaakov Malachim. May also Chayil Notal Yaakov Malachim, right? Mem Ches Nud Yud Mem, from that Chayil, from that group of Malachim, right? That Yaakov Avinu saw at the end of Ayetze, those are the Malachim, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. These are the Malachim that he sends, this Malachim. Okay. So we'll see. Okay, and Chanami, maybe if we have time, we'll touch on that for a moment. So what were these Malachim? If you have a look, in the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh was, of course, much later than the Kliyaka. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh, I think, says something here which one can put together with the Kliyaka. The Orach Chaim is interested in the question, why Taka did he send Malachim Mamash? Why didn't he send ordinary messengers to Esav to tell him, look, let's get together, maybe we can discuss, maybe there are things to discuss. So he says that the Orach Chaim writes, have a look here in text number 3. So he says, Lazer Omar Lefonov, the Pasuk Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefonov. What does Lefonov mean? Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Lazer Omar Lefonov. The word Lefonov in the first Pasuk means, Pirush, Letzad Hayosim Lefonov, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu had shown him this amazing vision of this massive amount of Malachim, of Vayivku Vo Malach HaElokim, he understood that wasn't Bechinom. He didn't see Malachim every day of his life. He saw suddenly a massive chayil of Malachim. So he understood, Kihur Shol Ishtamish Bahem, that they were there for his service. They were here at his disposal. That he was allowed to use them. Lasha Yitztarech Lehem Bedova She'en Yochel Lasos Al Yidei Bnei Adam. Because maybe there's a job here that human beings can't do Bechlam. This job of going to Esav was not a job that human beings could undertake. Why not? Says the Orach Chaim. Esav was a massively powerful individual. Kayadua, as is known. Or Shlichas Achayrim, says the, I'm reading from the Orachayim HaKadosh, Shlichas Achayrim, Efshe Shle, Yachshiv Osim Nashim. First of all, ordinary messengers, Esav would simply have, would have ignored. He would have ignored, they wouldn't have made an impression on him sufficiently to take him seriously. Oi, Efshe Shiyaktim Lakosim, Ibli Hashem. Maybe he killed them. The messengers would come. He'd simply kill them without even giving it a second thought. Okay, so the Orachaim gives us three reasons why it was appropriate, why Yaakov understood that this was a job only for Malachim, which human beings couldn't undertake. Firstly, because human beings might be ignored, or they might be killed, or in addition to that, to give Esav a bit of a shock. To give him a bit of a fright. You know, the Yaakov is sending Malachim, he must have understood. Obviously they came Belavush Adam, but nevertheless, Esav understood that these were not ordinary human beings. So you realize, gosh, Yaakov Avinu has at his disposal these sort of messengers. This is a serious business. So it was already a message to Esav. So all this, I believe, both the Kliyoka and the Rechaim HaKadosh are saying as a type of an answer to the Kasha of the Ramban. But Rabban wants to know, why did Yaakov Dafka choose now to send Malachim to Esav? Why didn't he let sleeping dogs lie? The answer is, Yaakov was in a uniquely powerful situation now. He didn't know if he'd be in that position again in the near future. He had at his disposal a whole chayil of Malachim who could do a job that was otherwise a mission impossible. This was the job that needed to be done, to go to Esav and make an impact on him.
How did Esav know
not? Okay, so you must. Okay, the truth is, Esav was a poshita mesh. Esav wasn't a regular villain. He wasn't an ordinary villain. Esav had grown up in the house. He'd learned from Avram Avinu. For the first 15 years of his life, he'd learned with Avram Avinu. He'd seen Malachim in the house of Avram Avinu. He'd learned then afterwards in the house of Yitzhak and Rivka. He understood what was Malachim and who was simply ordinary messengers. You have to say that, otherwise, certainly the Orachayim understood that. The Orachayim HaKadosh understood that when Esav got these messengers, he realized, oh, this is something very serious enough for him to respond immediately. Because Esav wasn't in the habit of responding when people came and said, I'd like to see you. He wasn't in the habit of getting on his horse and immediately responding. But when he met these Malachim, they made an impact on him. So I think Yaakov understood, even though it's true that generally speaking you let sleeping dogs lie, but the chokhmah of fighting the enemy is to choose your time when you feel that you're in a position of strength. Not wait till he decides that he wants to come and find you, right? The Netziv even adds here another nakuda that Yaakov possibly had a charota with the way he'd handled Lavan in the end. And with Lavan in the end, he slipped away quietly, hoping that Lavan would leave him alone. In the end, Lavan runs after him and challenges him. Says the Netziv, it could be that Yaakov understood that actually when it comes to Esav, you can't do that. You can't slip into Eretz Yisrael and hope that Esav won't see you. And then what will happen is Esav will choose his moment to come and attack you. Better you choose your moment when you've got the best troops, these Malachim. It's a gemara figure svara this. So in the Chanami, the answer is, the message here of the parasha is, let sleeping dogs lie. If you have the Esavs of this world, don't forget Esav is Amalek. The Amaleks of this world, you don't antagonize them unnecessarily. And you don't say, right, here I am, here's Yaakov, why don't you come and have a chat with me? You don't say that. If they're happy, you leave them alone. But sometimes when you know that there is going to be a confrontation, you choose your time and your support and your people in the best way possible. I want to add two other nakudas here, which I found in the Balei Hasidus, the Balei Musa, which I find very interesting. This Tfas Emes says, if you have a look at Rashi at the end of the parsha, he says, Machanayim, what's Machanayim? Why two camps? So he says, again, Malachi Eretz Yisrael, Malachi Chutz Laretz, right? Like Rashi says at the beginning of Vayetze, Malachim Olim V'Yoredim. So it was the change of the Buckingham Palace, right? The boy said, the changing of the guards, right? So it was at Havdil, of course, Havdolos, but the changing of the guards of Yaakov Avinu. So in the beginning of Vayetze, the Malachi Eretz Yisrael were leaving, handing over to Malachi Chutz Laretz. Says Rashi, at the very end of Parshas Vayetze, who were these Malachim that he met? They were changing back. The Malachi Chutz Laretz were leaving him, handing over to Malachi Eretz Yisrael. He was about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Says the Sfas Emes, Okay, this is already getting into ruchnias, things we don't understand completely. But he says there's a massive difference between Malachi Eretz Yisrael and Malachi Chutz Laretz. Malachi Chutz Laretz live in a world of Gashmias, and they work through Koichos HaTeva, the world of the Teva. And in Chutz Laretz, those are the Koichos that are supreme. And therefore, he says, these are very powerful, this-worldly Malachim who operate within the Koichos HaTeva. The Malachim in Eretz Yisrael live in the world of Pnimius and the world of Ruchnius, and the primary forces in Eretz Yisrael are Ruchnius forces. He understood, says the Sfas Emes, Yaakov understood that to confront Esav, it's no good sending him Malachi Eretz Yisrael. That he wouldn't understand. Malachi Eretz Yisrael, who were Kulei Ruchnius and Kulei Pnimius, that wasn't for Esav. Esav wouldn't get a message from these people at all. He wouldn't maybe even see them, even physically he wouldn't see them. They're not in the Levush, says the Sfas Emes. They're not in the Levush of Gashmias at all. They are Malachim. They are a Malachim Mala. So therefore, I think this is also another Teretz. Yaakov Avinu was just about on the border between Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael. This was the last time he was going to see for a long time, the last time he was going to have Malachi Chutz Laretz at his disposal. From now on, they were handing over to Malachi Eretz Yisrael. The Malachi Eretz Yisrael would be no good to send Esav. It wouldn't work. So therefore, just before they left, he said to them, Tzeischem l'shalom, like we say Friday night, we say to the weekday Malachim, Tzeischem l'shalom, but before you go, I've got a job for you to do. Right? Vayishlach Malachim, and Esav Achiv. You want, I need someone to represent me to Esav, you're the people to do it. He sends, says the Sfas Emes, Malachi Chutz Laretz, with the people for the job. And it's again, it's a teretz on the Ramban's Kasha. Why does he choose now? Why not let sleeping dogs lie? Because now he had these Malachi Chutzlaretz, which he wouldn't have for many, many years to come, until he went down to Mitzrayim for many, many years he would still live in Eretz Yisrael. He wouldn't have Malachi Chutzlaretz, which is what he needs. That's the Sfas Emes. Just want to add on another beautiful idea, which I've seen in the writings of the Or Gedaliahu. The Or Gedaliahu, Or Gedaliah Shor, beautiful, beautiful, also more Alderech Hasoy, Alderech Hanista. So Or Gedaliahu says a completely new Chiddush, which you don't find, to the best of my knowledge, in Mamore Chazal or in the Mefarshim, but he says it Alpi HaZoya. He says the Zoya says a different Mahalach completely. Yaakov, why does he send Malachim to Esav, right? He wanted to know, maybe Esav was still redeemable. Maybe he would do tshuva. Maybe Esav wasn't nidcha completely from Klal Yisrael. Maybe there was a way back. And this actually is a very interesting mahalach, which in order to understand it, you have to understand the Perushim of the Malbim and the Sforanoi on Parshas Toldos, where they say that the original kavana of Yitzchak wasn't Chas V'Shalom to give the brachas to Esav and leave Yaakov out of it. The original kavana of Yitzchak, says the Sforanoi and the Malbim, was that that Yaakov and Esav should work together like Yisach and Zvulun. As I state in the Sforanoi and the Malbim, that was his original kavana. There should be. It's true that Esav lived in a world of power and wealth, so let him use his power and wealth to support Yaakov, who would be dedicated only to Ruchnius. That was the Hava Mina of Yitzchak. That's what he wanted. He wanted to give Esav the bracha of Yitzchak Cholokim Mital HaShemayim, which was Gashmius, and he wanted to give Yaakov the bracha that he gave him at the end of the Toldos, Birkas Avram. That was the original intention. Yaakov now, 34 years later, wants to revisit that possibility, says the Or Gedaliahu, in the name of the Zoya. He wants to see, maybe Ulai, who knows, 34 years, Efshe the fellow's done tshuva. Efshe, he wants Taka to be part of Am Yisrael, maybe he wants to work with me and to be a support for the Ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. So and that's why, says the Zoya, he has to send Malachim. Because the Malachim can see into the heart of an individual. They don't just see the outside. The Malachim were there to see what's going on in Esav's mind. Is he a Baal Tshuva? Is he someone who is Baderech? If he's on the way to do Tshuva, does he have Hirhuri Tshuva? Right? That's why, says the Or Gedaliahu, he sends Malachim. And that's also why, so then of course, the whole Kasha of the Ramban falls away. Why does he choose the moment now? Because now he felt, now is the time. If he's ever going to do tshuva and become part of the future of Am Yisrael, now's the time to get involved. We're about to start building up Klal Yisrael. Now is the time that maybe Esav could be a shutef. That's what Yitzchak had always wanted. He wanted Esav to be a shutuf with Yaakov in the building of Klal Yisrael, like Yisachar and Zevulun. Right? And so this was, says the Ogadaryo, this was the intention of Yaakov at this point. So we have several different terutzim here about why indeed Yaakov chose this moment. And the principle of letting sleeping dogs lie doesn't always work. Sometimes it's kedai to wake up this dog and deal with him now, because now you're in a position of strength. Now you're able to deal with him best, and if you leave him, he'll only chase you later on. Better deal with it now. That seems to be the Maharech of the Rechaim HaKadosh. I'd like to have a look at the second point I wanted to have a look at this morning. It's a little bit more complex, but it's one of the psukim at the beginning of the parsha. So Esav is galloping towards Yaakov Arba Meyos Ishimai, and he's clearly not inclined in a very friendly way towards Yaakov Avinu. And the pasuk says, "Vayiro Yaakov Ma'oid Vayetzalai." Yaakov experienced fear, anxiety. Vayetzalai, he was very distressed. Right? What does Rashi there say? Rashi says he was afraid to be killed. Vayetzalai, he was distressed that maybe he would have to kill. Either way, it wasn't going to be good. That's what he said in Rashi. But the question really is, Yaakov Avinu, right, on his Madrega, why didn't he have Bitochen? What happened to Midas HaBitochen? What happened to the Bitochen that he should have? What's Vayiro? He's in a state of fear. What's he afraid of? He's afraid of Esav. Right? One of the middos of Klal Yisrael is Bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're facing Esav. You don't stand there shaking in fear. Vayiro Yaakov Moed, he's in fear. Right? We find later on, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, when you say to them, you're going into battle, the last thing you want, it's no good. You can't confront Esav by Yiro with Yiro. What is this Yiro that the Pasuk is talking about? This is a major issue which I don't really even have time to do justice to completely, but in the few minutes we have left, I just want to touch upon a few points of it. So first of all, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Dalad, asks this question. It's not a question of the later Mepharshim Gemara, and the Gemara asks it. He says, look, in even a sharper way, Yaakov Avinu was told in Parshas Vayetze, Hinei Yonechi Imach, Ushmarticha, B'chaloshay Teilech, Vashivasicha, Lomazah, Kilo Yezovcha. He had Mefurash Avtachas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was guaranteed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is he afraid? What does the Gemara answer there? Everybody know? Shema Yigroim HaChet. That's the answer to the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't spell out what it means exactly, but Pashtus, it means that Yaakov Avinu understood that the Havtacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was al tanai, that he was given this Havtacha on the condition that he remained at a certain level of Ruchnias, and he just spent 20 years in the house of Lavan, surrounded by Tumah, surrounded by Sheker, surrounded by Avodah Zorah, working Yomam Valayla, all the things he'd been doing for 20 years, he was worried maybe his Madrega wasn't what it was when he got the Haftachas. Shema Yigra Machet and Tzadikei Olam are always concerned maybe they don't deserve any more the Haftachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised them. That's the Gemara in Brachos. But now I want to show you, and in fact this Gemara I brought you, on text number 6. Text number 6 in your sheet. Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi Rami. Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi saw contradicting psukim. Ksiv v'hinei onochi imach, u'shmarticha b'chol asher teilech. On the one hand, he gets the promise. U'ksiv, and on the other hand, v'yiro Yaakov Ma'id. How does that work together? How can he be afraid if he's got a promise mefurish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Omar Shema Yigra Machet. That's the Gemara. Maybe he wasn't any more deserving. Okay, that is the Kasha and the Teretz. But now I want to show you something most extraordinary. And I'll just touch on it very, very briefly. The Rambam here in text number 7 and 8 is in the Shmona Prokim. The Rambam Shmona Prokim is a text highly recommended to everybody. Not that the Rambam needs my recommendation, you understand. But nevertheless, the Rambam Shmona Prokim is in the Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam, is his introduction to Pirkei Avos. Before he starts a Perish and Pirkei Avos, he gives us 8 chapters of Hakadoma to Pirkei Avos. Right. Because he believes all the Yesedos of Emunah and Midas are in Pirkei Avos. So one of the things he talks about in chapter 7 is What makes a Navi? Okay, it's no small matter, no small question. What does somebody need in order to be a Navi? So he says here, have a look at text number 7. Vada shekol Navi lo nisnabe el acha shetiyenu lo kol milas asichlias v'rov milas hamidas. Okay, I'm not going to go into all the text here, but he says, a Navi needs to have milas asichlias, which means the highest possible level of chokhmah. Chochmas HaTayra and Chochmas HaChayim, all different aspects of Chochmah. And Malas HaMidas has to be someone who's worked out his Midas. He's not driven by Kas or Taiva or Gaiva or anything like that at all. He's worked out his Midas completely, and he's worked out his Chochmah, and then he has the potential to become a Navi. Okay, but have a look at text number 8. Text number 8, the Rambam says something most extraordinary. V'ein mitznai ha-Navi she'tiyenu etzlo kol Malas HaMidas. However, Naviim, you shouldn't think that in order to be a Navi, you have to score 100% in these tests of Milas HaMidas and Milas HaSichlias. Sometimes Naviim had certain chisreinus, and nevertheless, they were Naviim. They had chisreinus. Why did they have chisreinus? Because they were human beings. Human beings are fallible. Even the great, even Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah tells us. Right? Of course, we have to understand that these failings and chesronos were all lefi madrigosom, where they were holding in ruchnius, but nevertheless they had these shortcomings. Says the Rambam, gives us two examples, he gives a few examples. In my edited sheet, there are two examples. The first one, he says, we find, I'm looking at text number 8 in the second line, he quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin Kufyud Gimel, Belio anovi zechon livroch amidas haragzonus. Chazal say by Elio anovi that he was angry, he was too much of a kanoi. He was too much of a kanoi. He was, in a sense, he was saying the MS, but he said it with too much anger. Even though who was he angry with? With a kohen baal. He was angry with Avdei Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, he says, Eino roi, he says, Sheimshol b'nei Odom, he was too sharp. And that's why the connection between Pinchas and Eliyahu, because Pinchas also solved the problem with a spear, which is not the most recommended way always to solve communal problems with a spear. Okay. V'chein motzano b'shmuel shepachat mishal. But now look at this, Rabbi Eliezer. This is the punchline I wanted for this year. Have a look at the end of the fourth line of text number 8. What's an example for the Rambam of someone who was a Navi, but nevertheless had a chisoron? What's an example? Ubi Yaakov shepachad mipegishas Esav. Yaakov, a yiro, Yaakov ma'oi, says the Rambam, was a chisoron. He shouldn't have been afraid. Was a chisoron in his midas habitacha. Right? Not something that you and I would normally have said, but the Rambam's the Rambam. And even the Rambam meant it, lefi madregosei, according to the madrega of what was expected of Yaakov Avinu, his bitachon wasn't 100%. He had a little bit of yira, and therefore, that's what the Torah tells us. But we see, says the Rambam, that it was a chisara. Okay. So this is the Rambam's teretz, which is a different teretz to the teretz of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shema Yigram Achait. The Rambam says that it was Taka Chisaron. Incidentally, both the Malbim and the Nativ have got a very interesting perush. And what does it mean by Yiro Yaakov Moed by Yetzalo? He was afraid and he was distressed. So they both say the same vort, that it means that he was afraid, that he experienced Yiro, and he was distressed that he felt Yiro. He was upset with himself. That he had a very psychological insight here. By Yiro Yaakov Moed, he felt the anxiety. By Yetzer, and he knew he shouldn't. He knew he shouldn't feel Yiro. He should have Bitachon. And he knew he wasn't. So that actually fits in quite well with the Rambam. Those Mefarshim who say that by Yetzer means he was upset with himself that he felt Yiro, that fits in well with the Rambam, that it was Taka, Chisara. This was a shortcoming of Yaakov Avinu. He shouldn't have felt Yiro. He was upset with himself. As I stay. Okay. Now the truth is, we're still left with a problem. The Gemara says, Shema Yigram Achait. The Rambam says it was a chisaron. According to the Chazal, wasn't it? Not a chisaron. It was a maila. It was a maila. So this is a kasha which was asked by the Chesed Lavram. Chesed Lavram was a perush 400 years ago. Rabbi Avram Halevi Horovitz, the father of the Shlach HaKadosh, one of the Gedolei Yisrael in Poland, who wrote a few very interesting pieces. And he also wrote some he'oros on the Rambam's Perush HaMishnah. So he was a Talmud of the Ramon, the Marshal in Krakow. He was a very choshev a yid in the late 1500s. So he asked this kasha. It's a tzarich here. How can the Rambam say it was a chisaron when Chazal say it wasn't? So Rabbi said, the truth is, the answer to that question lies here, and I don't really have time to deal with it, but I refer you to this. Rabbi Chonon Vassaman, Leich HaTzari B'Kodesh L'Bracha, Rabbi Chonon Vassaman in Kovet Ha'oras. Now you think I'm going to learn with you Yevamos, right? And you'll be happy to know we're not learning Yevamos this morning. But at the back of Kovet Ha'oras, amazingly, there are about 20 pages of Rabbi Chonon's Chidushim on Agodes Hashas. And in one of these chapters in Simon Hay, he brings this Rambam, Mishmona Prokit, and he brings the Chesed Avraham, and he asks the Kasha, and he gives a Teretz, a Lomdish Teretz. Like he uses all the awesome powers of Lomdish that Rabbi Chonon Vassaman had, he brings it to bear here on Divrei Agada. So he says, Be'etzem, Kushas HaGemara, Einu Inyan L'Kushas HaRambam. He says, these are two, the Rambam and the Gemara are dealing with two different Kashas, Tzvei Dinim here. There's two completely different kashas, says Rabbi Chonon Vassaman. It's an amazing piece, I must tell you. It's an extraordinary piece. He says, the Gemara's asking why he didn't have a bitochen in the Havtocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Havtocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shematicha b'chol ha-teileich. So on that, the answer is, Shem Yigram Achet, maybe he didn't anymore deserve that special promise. The Rambam's asking, okay, so he doesn't deserve that special promise. But every Yid has got a basic midas of bitochen. Why didn't he have the regular bitochem that every yid, well, you need to be a tzaddik in order to have bitochem. Every yid should have bitochem, whether he's a tzaddik or not. Well, because Shema Yigra Machet, so therefore all bitochem goes out of the window. If that's the case, Rabbi said, we're all in bad shape. Right? That's not, so you see here, says Rabbi Chonon Vassaman, there are two completely different issues here. The issue of the Havtocha, the Gemara is talking about why did he not trust in the Havtocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he thought maybe he was undeserving. But when he came to the regular Bitochen, that's what the Rambam is asking, and we see that in the normal Midas HaBitochen that every Jew should have, in that Yaakov, again, one has to say, Lefi Madregosa, according to Madrega the Yaakov was on, Episka failed. There was a little bit missing in his complete dedication to Bitochen. And that's how the Rabbi Chonon Vassaman answers the Kasha, the Chesed Avram, and the Gemara and the Rambam are actually talking about two different things. He himself then goes ahead, Rabbi Chonon Vassaman, and gives the most amazing teretz of his own, which I can only just mention, Beremez, which he says that really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, B'tchila Olah B'machshava Livrei B'din. But he saw he couldn't create the world bedin. So shitev ima midas rachmin. That says we find that the havamin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also the original machshava. Why does Chazal tell us the original machshava was bedin? Because there are yechidim, he says, in the world who were zeicher to live bedin. They didn't use the rachman. They lived bedin, completely bedin. Their madrega was such that every moment of every day and every thought and every action was completely alpi and munna and rotzon Hashem, nothing else. So he says, Yaakov Avinu was living bedin. Yaakov Avinu lived completely. He says, when we have bitachon, in what are we trusting? We're entrusting ani b'chastecho b'tachti. We are trusting in chazdei Hashem. We don't dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, help us because we deserve it. Anybody who says that is daft, right? We dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Gemel Chasadim Tevim, Gane Hakam, Mechal Kachayim Bechesed. We're looking for Chazdei Hashem. So he says, Yaakov Avinu was not living with Chazdei Hashem. He was living Alpi, the Havamina of the Briyas HaOlam. He went back to Odom Arishon Lifnei Achet, that he was living on a level of complete din. And therefore, the ordinary din, the ordinary midas habitachan, says Rabbi Chonon Vassaman, wasn't shaykh to him, because he wasn't living with chesed, he was living with din. He was ushmaticha b'chol asher teilech. That's what the Gemara answers, that Shema Yigra Machet, he felt that maybe he had slipped a little bit in his avodas Hashem, and therefore he didn't deserve it anymore. My boys, that's all I have time for this morning. I wish you all a very good Shabbos. Yashkech.